hi, everybody. This
Love
is Kim.
Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Kim, and I'd like to welcome you to our very first episode of Stay Out of My Crease. My co-host is Jimmy, and today is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. So, hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing good, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So you're ready to talk some hockey?
Talk hockey too much. People get bored with it.
So I guess we will start off this show with our This Day in Hockey History. Today, of course, is November 2nd, and what happened in hockey history today is Wayne Gretzky became a member of the Oilers. So that was a big thing.
Yeah, he kind of changed a lot of the way the game was played. I mean, being so small but so quick and able to shoot like he did and pass like he did. I mean, nobody had ever seen anybody like him before. So it took a long time, and I don't know that anybody ever caught up to Gretzky as far as being able to defend him. I think they just tried to contain him.
Yep. And this happened in 1978, and he was 17 years old.
Right.
So, what a career. And then in 1968, the new Montreal Forum is reopened after an extensive remodeling job. And the Canadiens celebrated by defeating the Detroit Red Wings 2-1.
Did they have Molson then, too?
I'm not sure.
That's what they have now, so.
Right. And then finally, in 1969, Gordie Howe gets the 19th and final hat trick of his NHL career. And they defeated the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-3. And at the age of 41, Howe became the oldest player in league history to score 3 or more goals in a game.
Wow, but he kept playing, though, because he played in, like, I swear he's still playing now.
I bet the Red Wings wish they would.
Right,
wish
exactly.
He was. They're struggling this year.
Well, especially now with Vanek being hurt. You know, I mean, like, that can't help them at all. You know, they could probably use Gordie Howe now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, I guess on today's show, we are going to be talking about goalies in the NHL. And then we're going to have a little bit of college hockey. And then we're also going to pose some questions for our listeners. I guess we can bring Jeff on, and he can talk with us about goalies. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, hello. How's it going?
Hey,
good.
Jeff.
How's it going?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. It's good to be on the show. Good to talk about hockey, you know, the Canadian sport, obviously. It's great. This is going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to tonight for sure. I'm just pouring my coffee here to stay awake as well. So I just talked to all my kids this evening. So I'm good to go.
Great.
So
good to hear.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, everything is great. This is it's good to have a hockey show because hockey is very popular and it's growing more and more. And obviously it's our sport in Canada for sure. So we've owned it for years and all the gold medals, thanks to our hero, Sidney Crosby. I know you like that, eh, Kim?
So,
well, you know, he went to high school his senior year here in Minnesota.
Oh, interesting. Did not know that.
He went to Shattuck St. Mary's with Parisi as his coach.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. There's something I did not know. No, I did not know that, actually.
So that's what made him a good player, was the fact that he actually went to Minnesota. It wasn't, had nothing to do with Canada.
No, and that's very true. No, obviously the all the Americans, they, you know, you steal all our good players for sure. So,
exactly.
But this is great.
This year, though, there's like five teams that if the season ended today, which it's not going to, but I mean, if it did, there'd be five teams from Canada that would make it into the playoffs, and none of them made it last year. What's your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm.
That was very surprising. That hadn't happened in a long time, if ever.
Yeah, I was a little. The injuries played a lot. Like Montreal owned the league for the first 12 games, something like that. I think they were they 10-0 or 11-0 or even maybe 12-0 last year.
Right.
And then, as soon as Price went down, it just fizzled. I think that was a continue of things in Montreal. They just couldn't get anything together. Look at them now. Look at Montreal now. They're the same spot now. They're what? 10-0. They're 10-0 or some of that. Or
lost a regular season game yet? They lost in overtime.
Right, they lost a tie game, and that was about it. But if you look at their goal differential, it's a lot better than it was last year. So,
oh yeah,
you know, getting the extra draft picks, you know, doesn't hurt at all. You know, and I think that's kind of fueling some of these Canadian teams.
Shea Weber really turned that team around. Shea Weber is a workhorse, phenomenal. He really turned that. They needed that leadership in Montreal for sure. Not knocking Subban, but you know, obviously they got rid of Subban for a reason because he's a pretty decent player. You don't get rid of a decent player for a reason. But when Weber came in, he really took that team around for sure. So. Like I said, like last year, no Canadian teams made it. You know, the Leafs were still struggling. You know, they're still trying to, you know, get to where they're supposed to be. You know, it's going to take some time for that. The Oilers were struggling for years, but now look at the Oilers. They turned around.
Sometimes that's all it takes is just to get the one or two draft picks. I mean, look at what happened with Chicago. I mean, they were terrible for years, and then they turned it around by getting, you know, a couple of decent draft picks. And, you know, same thing in Pittsburgh, you know. So sometimes you have to be really bad in order to get really good. And
right.
Well, it's exactly. Well, it's funny you mentioned that. Do you remember back in the early 80s, 80s and 90s, the Quebec Nordiques were brutal. They were bad, you know, and they were actually, there was some conflict. They were actually tanking the seasons just to get, you know, the first round draft picks, you know, Matt Sundin, then Joe Sakic and all that other stuff. So
right.
They were just tanking. All of a sudden, they made that huge trade with Philadelphia for Eric Lindros. And lo and behold, they won two cups right after that. So
then they moved to Colorado, and it was like,
exactly. They won their cups in Colorado for that big, huge trade that really helped them. And, you know, you draft Peter Forsberg, who's like, you know, I think, is he a Hall of Fame, a potential Hall of Fame, or is he in the Hall of Fame yet? I'm not sure, but that was an incredible what Quebec did. You know, they were brutal, and then they won trade and a couple draft picks just made them cup contenders. Obviously, they went to Colorado. Like Edmonton, you know, they were Edmonton was brutal for years and years and years, and all of a sudden new management might come in, and now they drafted, and then all of a sudden now they're playing pretty decent. Now it is early in the season, which we all know. And things could happen. Like, look at Pittsburgh last year. Pittsburgh was garbage. Like, they were having to dump until January or some of that. And then they went on a huge stretch. They only lost one game in 23 games or some of that. And then, lo and behold, they won the Cup. So, the Canadian teams are playing so far so good. You know, the Leafs are, you know, it's going to take some time for the Leafs to get together. You know, they're still young and all that stuff. So, you know.
No, they might need another year. You know, it's. I'm surprised at how well Edmonton has turned it around. They weren't really all that good last year, and this year they seem to be playing some decent
hockey.
Edmonton's
brutal for years,
right.
years. But all of a sudden now they're playing decent. So I was a little surprised with that. I was very surprised with that. I thought Vancouver would do a little better, but Edmonton is a very big surprise. Montreal, I'm not surprised. As soon as they have Price. And Weber, I knew they'd be they're going to be right up there for sure in the playoffs. And not saying they're going to win the Cup, but they're going to be a very dangerous team. Shea Weber really helped with that team, and he's just a phenomenal. I wish the Flyers signed him to an offer sheet when he was a free agent years ago, but Nashville not matched it. I was really upset because, I mean, you know, I'm a huge Flyer fan. I was like, oh man, I wish I had this guy on my team. The Flyers were ever since Pronger was gone, the Flyers haven't really been the same either. So, and they're a young team too. They're trying to, you know, they did make the playoffs last year, and no one expected them to make the playoffs because they're all just such a young team. So, but I think there's going to be a lot more success with the Canadian teams this year as last year for sure. So we'll see how this run
definitely.
Goes.
I mean, and you got to think too, in order to get in the playoffs and ride in the playoffs and do well, sometimes all it takes is riding a hot goalie and having a little bit of puck luck. I mean, that's just the way the playoffs always are.
Exactly. Just get in the playoffs. That one year, I think it was 2010, the Philadelphia Flyers made it to the playoffs on a shootout. I think it was against the Rangers. They just squeaked in. And then they lost to the Cup final with Chicago, but the Flyers did have some injuries. So they, you know, and one year LA just squeaked in the playoffs, made it eighth, and then they won the Stanley Cup. So just get in the playoffs, and then the heart kicks in. You know, you just need that heart, and nothing else matters. You just need, if you have the heart, especially I find that for hockey a little more. These players have heart, and I think we talked about this earlier. These hockey players, they're tough. You know, I believe it is the toughest sport on the planet for sure. You know, these people are getting pucks in the face, skates in the face, and they're back in the next shift. What, that one goalie lost his teeth and he played the next shift
Ben
or something
Bishop.
Like that? But, good goalie, very good goalie, and played the next shift, you know.
Yep.
And I was talking this before. I remember years ago, Kurt Muller. Jim, do you remember Kurt Muller? Very good. Kurt Muller used to play for the New Jersey Devils. They actually called him Captain Kirk and played for Montreal Canadiens, won a cup. Very good hockey player. I was at the game when he was with the Leafs. I remember this like it was yesterday. He took a skate to the face, a hockey skate to the face. I was at this game, it's like 20 or 30 stitches right down his face. And then he came back the next period, just get all stitched up.
Yeah. You know, he got stitched up, and then he still played, you know, and that's one of the expressions where, you know, it's okay, he's a hockey player, he'll come back, you know, that's just the way that they play. And
exactly.
I
they
think
have
a lot
heart.
Of them, they just don't want to lose their shift. They like playing the game.
Well, you know what's funny? Only that they lose their shift, but, you know, the funny thing is there's people lined up, you know, ready to take people's places. You know, it's that such demanding. That's my opinion as well. Like, you know, as soon as you go for an injury, right? Like, there's someone going to step up right into the plate. And if this person's going to play better, you know, your job could be, okay, well, now you're third line or fourth line. You know, so, like, remember, like, you know, that's the way it is. So, you know, you play, you better get out there and play, you know. Eric Lindros played with a punctured lung for the playoffs one year, and people play with separated shoulders and, you know, even concussions, and they just want to play and win. So it's amazing what these hockey players go through just to play and you know, try to win. Just get in the playoffs and anything can happen. So I find that a little bit more than hockey. You know, you just need a hot goalie, and then you can make some magic. So,
well, the difference between number 8 in the conference and number 1 in the conference is usually not as much as is made out to be. You know, I mean, you look at how many times the lower seeds will actually have made it. And, I mean, that doesn't happen. I mean, you look at the NBA, that doesn't happen in the NBA, you know. But in the NHL, it happens all the time, you know, where you'll have.
Exactly.
You know, like you say, you can ride a hot goaltender. You can. You know, you can get a couple of nice bounces, and then pretty soon you're up, and then the other team doesn't have momentum, and then it's over, you know. So,
exactly. You have to have the right leadership, like the heart. Like, look at Washington last year, the best team. Like, oh, my God, everyone thought Washington was going to win. And I said this before, I didn't think they were going to go far.
That President's Trophy is a curse.
I'm sorry, Kim, say it again.
I said that President's Trophy is a curse.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Like, Washington's, you know, a decent team, but, you know, this is just
they
my opinion. I hope I don't offend anybody. Like, yeah, Ovechkin's a good player. He's a very good player, very skilled. But, you know, to take the team, like, you know, this is my team. We're going to go far. Like, he hasn't done that yet. You know, very flashy, you know, being hot-headed. You know, like when you scored 50 goals that one year and you'll try to pick up the hockey stick. Oh, it's too hot. Look, I'm good. And it's like, everyone's like, dude, you know, we got to play hockey here. So I knew they were going to get bounced out because, You know, here's another thing. Maybe some people know. Like, when's the last time a Russian captain won a Stanley Cup? Let's go far back. I don't know how far back we can go.
1938
was the last time a Russian captain won the Stanley Cup.
1938.
You know?
Yes, and the funny thing is, he was born in Russia, but he lived in Canada, so they don't really consider him a Russian captain.
There you go.
Even with all the Russian players that were on Detroit, they didn't have none of them were the captain.
No, their captain was Canadian, I believe.
Stevie Yzerman, if I'm not mistaken.
Stevie Yzerman, yeah,
that was his team, right? And we also had a good coach, Scotty Bowman, one of the best coaches that ever coached in the NHL, like 9 Stanley Cups or something like that, right? And that team was, like, as soon as Scotty Bowman took over that team, you know, then they started playing a little better, and then they started winning Stanley Cups and all that stuff. So, you know, it's just this Canadian, you know, I'm going to say it, you know, it's the Canadian sport, and I know, you know, it's the blood in it, and, you know, it's the heart. Wayne Gretzky, Stevie Yzerman, Mary Lemieux, you know, Bobby Orr, you know, name them over and over and over again, you know, like, it just, you know, these Canadian captains really can take this team. And when Ovechkin was captain of the Washington, it's like, good player, but they need someone to actually drive this team. So
now,
I knew right away, I knew
we
were going to get bounced out.
Jeff, I'm going to interrupt you because that brings me to a question that I'd like to pose to you guys. And that would be, since the Capitals do have a Russian captain in Ovechkin, would they have more success? Because, you know, hockey is a game of superstition, too. And so do you think, superstitious-wise, that they would succeed better if they didn't have Ovechkin as the captain?
Yes. I really think so. There's actually been teams that strip their old captain to give it up to somebody else. I really do. That's just my opinion. Like I said, Ovechkin is a very flashy player. Yes, very good, but not a person to drive Washington, you know. Like, I think they need more of a horseman defenseman, you know, or a player. Like, Chris Pronger, for example, was a true leader. Like, Chris Pronger was a leader. Everywhere Chris Pronger went, they won. They won. They were good. So, they need, like, some kind of leadership like that, you know. Jonathan Toews, you know. Chicago.
Orvy's more of a flashy kind of player. He's not, you know, I don't think he does much inside the locker room. I think he just tries to do it outside the locker room as far as.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I agree.
And I, you know, they need a veteran in there, somebody to come in and do that particular job. And I don't know where they're going to find one. So, I don't know that you can control him.
Yeah.
It would be nice. I mean, in the World Cup, you saw that. I mean, he actually played some semblance of defense. But, I mean, he never does that with Washington, especially during the regular season. And then in the playoffs, he just, you know, relies on, you know, well, if I score more goals, then, you know, we're going to win. And
Obi really can't play defense very well either. There are some – and the Capitals tend to play him defensively more in the playoffs than they do in the regular season, at least in my opinion.
No, I agree. I totally agree. And, Jim, you hit it. Like, very flashy guy. And it's all, you know, this is in my opinion, all about me on the ice. And, look, I can score the 50 goals. He's his own agent and all that stuff. He calls a shot. But, you know, they need a real go-hard, bona fide leader. Say, okay, I'm going to take control of this team. This is exactly what we're going to do. And, look at the last 10 years of hockey. You know, who's been all the captains, and, you know, it's all been Canadian captains, right? to take the lead of this team.
Right.
Well, so,
is Crosby the captain of Pittsburgh? Because he wasn't. Is Crosby the captain on Pittsburgh?
I think
he
is.
Yeah, Crosby's the captain. Yeah, because he was out for the first, you know, when you talk about injuries and stuff, this year seems to start out with a lot of injuries to very key players, and Crosby was out for the first five or six games due to concussion symptoms.
I don't look at Crosby as actually being the leader of that team. I look at Malkin as being the actual leader of that team just because of the way that he plays. And it just seems that, you know, his on-ice presence is more than Crosby's is. Maybe, you know, I never get in the locker room, which would be nice, but I never get in the locker room. And so I don't know what he says behind the closed door, so to speak, but it just looks like when he's on the ice, he's kind of more of the, pretty boy kind of thing. And Malkin's more of the muck it up and, you know, get on my back, let's do this kind of a player. At least that's what I thought in the playoffs last year.
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, you know, Crosby is a very good behind-the-scenes leader. A lot of people did not know that he did non-mandatory practices with the rookies that had been pulled up for the Stanley Cup Finals and or even the Stanley Cup Playoffs. And so he would actually do non-mandatory practice, teaching them, you know, puck control and going through the drills that he does privately when he skates by himself. But you're exactly right. A lot of people have a problem with Crosby winning the Conn Smythe Trophy this year because they didn't really see him perform up to the level that they're used to seeing and hearing about him performing. But you're exactly right. I am a firm believer, and I'm a diehard Pittsburgh fan. And if it wasn't for Malkin in the Sharks series being that physical goon, then I don't think we would have won. I really don't. I truly think that Malkin is on the ice leader. Now, the funny thing is, if you listen to, like, the clips from Penguin Radio and stuff like that, the leader in the locker room last year was actually Cullen. And, he was supposed to retire, had thought about it, and then he decided to do one more year with the Penguins, and it's very good that he did, because a lot of the guys like Connor Sheary and Brian Rust, they said that in the locker room, Cullen basically took everybody under their wing as a veteran player and the oldest player, you know, and he was the one in the locker room that took care of these guys and showed them the ropes,
well,
kept them calm.
I was actually surprised that Cullen came back. I mean, he's built his new house in Moorhead, Minnesota, and he was, you know, ready to raise his kids there and be done. So I was surprised he came back,
Phil Kessel actually did very well, too. I was very surprised. Phil Kessel really stepped it up as well.
Thank you, Maple Leafs, for Kessel.
Yes, that's typical Maple Leafs. You know, they boost somebody out of town, and all of a sudden they go somewhere else, they win cups or do very well. That's typical Toronto. Hopefully that will change now, but that was the history of Toronto. They boo people out of town. You know, you're hero to zero in no time in Toronto. They did that with Larry Murphy. They brought in Larry Murphy from Pittsburgh. He was a hero 1 year, then they booed him out of town. They shipped him to Detroit and won two cups. You know, that's typical Toronto fashion.
Right.
Well, I
remember Phil Kessel when he came, because he's from Wisconsin, and he actually went to the Gophers and played there at the University of Minnesota, which was kind of a shocker for everybody concerned. So, and then his sister came and played for the women's team, and that was a shocker too. So a lot of these people have a lot of history of being a winner, and he was a winner when he was here, and it did not surprise me that he was going to play well for Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
He played phenomenal. He did play phenomenal for sure. Actually,
the HBK line was just amazing.
Well, they did well. It's funny, you guys mentioned a good point. This was the year, like Pittsburgh, they won the Stanley Cup back in 2009. You know, it was new. Crosby came in and blah, 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 and all that stuff, right? But after that, you know, it was because they kept getting bounced out of the first round or something like that. It's like, okay,
we
is this a one-time?
Rangers.
Yeah, it was always the first round. Like, it's like, okay, is this a one-time wonder here? Like, what's going on here, right? But then this new coach came in, and when you said Cullen, you know, I think around, I think the coach says, okay, we're better than this. Okay, we're not all going to be individuals. We're going to play as a team. So this team really connected as an actual team instead of all individuals. And that's why for those years, Pittsburgh kept bounced out the first round and, oh, it's my team, it's my team, it's my team. No, we're a team. That coach did very well with Pittsburgh. And I was I'm really, like, obviously I'm a huge Flyers fan, but I'll give credit where credit's due. That team in the playoffs played as a team. Kessel stepped up. Malkin, yeah, he drove. Like, I was really surprised. Like, oh my God, this guy's like a warrior out there. And obviously Crosby and all that stuff. But they actually played as a team instead of just like, oh, it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me. So no, they did very, very well. And I was, and Phil Kessel, he really stepped up. Like, you know, it was a bad case in Toronto because, you know, they hit, in Toronto, he was on the second line, the third line. You know, you're not going to get him. But when you go to Pittsburgh with all these leaders and warriors and a, you know, pretty good coach, you're going to make magic with these players. And the team really succeeded as a team instead of just all individuals. And that's where their all success came in. Everyone just came together. It was good. They did very well in the playoffs.
And then there again, they rode a hot goalie into the playoffs with Matt Murray. So, you know, speaking of hot goalies and stuff, let's go ahead and talk about the injuries to goalies this year. That's been a huge problem, especially with the Kings losing Jonathan Quick for 3 months.
Right. Well, and Quick's Boston, gone. The Wild went into Boston, and they were playing there. I think they were taking people off the street to play goaltender there. And, you know, there's a lot of injuries, and part of the problem, I think, is now with the salary cap, it's different than it used to be. With the salary cap the way it is, you just can't keep two goaltenders. You have to get rid of one, and,
right,
you know, when they come of age, I mean, it's like Pittsburgh can have a huge problem when Murray gets to his next contract. But, you know, you look at, you know, like what St. Louis did. They had to dump Elliott because they couldn't afford him, you know. And now Calgary's in the playoffs, and St. Louis is barely in. So it's a difficult situation.
Definitely. And Boston has had the goalie carousel going on. So has the Kings, too. You know, and the Kings are usually contenders when it comes to the playoffs, especially there in the West. And unlike, you know, the East, which I know Jimmy's going to agree with me here, Jimmy and I kind of believe that the West is more of a physical conference, and it's a lot tighter race when it comes to playoff contention. So with the Kings losing Quick for 3 months, which is their starting goalie, then they also lost their backup goalie. And they're on their third string goalie right now. So if they don't keep pace, I think right now they're 4-6. So if they don't keep pace with the West, they're going to miss the playoffs just because of the fact that they've lost their starting goalie.
Well, that's a very good point, because it's tough once you get behind to catch up in the West. You know, you can do that a little bit easier in the East because you've got, I don't know if I want to say bad teams, but you've got some teams that aren't as good. Whereas in the West, it seems like most of the teams are pretty good, and you know you're out there playing every day, and it's hard, and you know, so if you get behind by a dozen points or so, you know, it's tough to catch up. Whereas, you know, you look at what Pittsburgh did; they were able to catch up last year, you know, and you look at some of the things the Capitals are doing. Well, they're feeding off of the teams that aren't necessarily as good. But when the Kings fall, if the Kings fall too far behind, they're just not going to be able to catch up.
Well, the Kings fall, look at the other teams, like the other Canadians, you know, they're starting to pick up, like now, you know, Edmonton's catching up now, right? You know, so, you know, there's always a team that's going to get better and better and better. Like, when you miss the playoffs next year, everyone says, oh, we're going to improve and improve. Well, imagine, you're trying to improve to get in the playoffs, but everyone else is going to try to improve. Your goalie is he's your main guy. And, like, Montreal last year, the Montreal Canadiens were, you know, 10-0, and then Carey Price went down, and that team was kaput. It was kaput because of one goalie. That team, it was kaput. They couldn't do anything. And then, you know, then there was issue in the dressing rooms and blah, blah, blah. So, you need your goal. You need a good goalie. You know, you can get away with mediocre players. You know, but who have the heart. But if you don't have your goalie, you're going to be in trouble. And it's going to be very, like you said, I agree. You fall too far behind, you know, because if you see the points are very close. You know, if you missed the playoffs by 1 point, you know, you could have won that game. That goalie could have made that one save or whatever it is. So you do need a good, reliable goalie. And if you don't have it, you know, you're going to be asking for a lot of problems trying to get in the playoffs or even try to get far in the playoffs. So, you know, it's you need healthy goalies to make success, for sure.
And I'm going to break in here for a second. If anybody is interested in calling in and helping us discuss our topics tonight, our number here is 646-668-8467. And we will get you on air as soon as we can. And then while we're on the goalie topic, guys, my question to both of you is, which teams would struggle without their starting goalie and which teams would not?
That's a very interesting question.
Well, every team was going to struggle without their starting goaltender, except for, you know, there's just a handful of teams that actually have two goaltenders that you can rely on. You know, because then you're looking at, you're not only looking at the second goaltender, but you're looking at the third goaltender, you know, the kid that you have down in you know, in your farm system. And, you know, how good is he? And, you know, is he going to be able to step in and, you know, spot your number two goalie when you need that? So, you know, and then it all comes down to, too, you know, how good is your defense? You know, I mean, do you have a decent enough defense? Can you play a defensive style or not, you know? I mean, if you can't play, if you're like Washington, you can't play a defensive style of hockey, you have no chance.
You know, that's a very good point. There's teams out there that had really good goaltending, but the defense was terrible. Actually, I'll bring up the Flyers. Steve Mason is tolerable. But also, the Flyers have very weak defense. Like I said, when the Flyers lost Pronger, they really weren't the team anymore after that. You know, I think they missed the playoffs once or twice after that. They just squeaked in or whatever it was. They have no defense. Like, Ghost is Ghostberger. Very good player. He's going to be a star. Very young defenseman. He's going to be a star. He was up for a Rookie of the Year last year, some of that. Very good. So, but, you know, their defense is very weak. And then you have Steve Mason trying to make 40, 50 saves a game and lose a game. So, catch 22 there. So, you do need a decent defense as well to help the goaltenders out.
Right.
That's a very good point. And look at years ago, this is years ago, we're going back years ago, when Robert Luongo came in with Florida. Florida wasn't great, but Luongo was making 40, 50 saves a game, but lose a game. But this guy was a workhorse. And Florida, you know, he was keeping Florida in some of the games because of him, because he was just amazing, making all these saves, but the team was very weak. You do need the defense for sure to help out the goalies. Absolutely. And also the Flyers lost Timo, you know, Kimmo Timonen. So Pronger and Timonen gone in those 3 years. And, you know, they didn't really have anyone to replace to help out these goalies here. So, you're right. You do need some good defense to help out these goalies, and
you definitely
that's what
do.
I said. If these teams have weak defense, their goalie better be really good. So,
I've also seen really good goalies get hung out to dry by a lack of defense too.
Absolutely
right. Well, that was what's his name? Keith. That was in. I mean, they wouldn't play defense when he played.
Right.
So it's so often, you know, quick has that happened to him when he was in L.A. before he got hurt. You know, they just figured the goaltender can take care of everything and they don't have to worry about it. And so the defensemen rush up too fast. And
right. Or they trust their goalie so much that they just totally forget that he sometimes need help.
Right. Like they're supposed to play defense.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that a couple of times. So So we're going to get ready to go to a quick commercial break. But before we do, I wanted to remind you that the number to call in is 646-668-8467. You can also follow us on Facebook, and our page is Stay Out of My Crease. And then we are also on Twitter, and our Twitter is at Stay Out of Crease. And then we also have an email address if you guys want to just shoot us an email, you know, to talk about topics or questions for us or anything like that. Our email is stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com. And we'll flip to a quick commercial. And then when we come back, we will be talking about college hockey.
Bob's Big Ben Bowling. Stop by for some awesome food and bowling fun at Bob's Big Ben Bowling, located at 119 East Main Avenue, Ritzville, Washington. Or call ahead to reserve your lanes today at 509-659-0540. Open Monday through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Bob's Big Ben Bowling.
And we are back. So the big news this weekend was in college hockey, actually, and that was number one and number two squared off. The funny thing is, number two beat number one. So, Jimmy, how did that happen? Jimmy, are you still there?
Jimmy, you still there? He was intimidated by the Canadian the hockey players that are just so amazing. So,
yeah.
But
so,
I love.
Anyway.
I was going to say the Ontario Hockey League, like the OHL Hockey League. You know, I don't follow too much of the American hockey of the American college teams. But I love the OHL hockey. It's amazing hockey. And I'm sure the U.S. college team is the same. These kids are playing for a contract. They're playing and playing. They're working so hard. It's just amazing when you see these kids, you know, coming up to become your future NHL stars. It is phenomenal hockey. They're sweating. They're screaming. You know, they're fighting. It is phenomenal hockey. You know, I go to the Oxford Generals games often with my kids. And college hockey would be the same. These kids just play. Oh, it's phenomenal hockey. And just watching these kids, it's just amazing. I love it, love it, love it.
Well, and the fun part is this last weekend we got to watch number one play number two. And, I mean, in college sports, that just never happened. You know, the first game was a decent game. But the second game was kind of a blowout by Duluth. But it's just fun to be able to watch, like you say, to watch it on that level. And, you know, most of these kids are drafted, you know, that are in that are decent at all, you know. And you look at a team like North Dakota, they have one senior on their team. You know, the rest of them are playing in the NHL right now for last year's national championship. So, you know, and then, I mean, you look at, you know, they go hard, and they go hard, and a lot of times they're on the Olympic-sized rink, which is bigger, so they have to go harder than the NHL players do, and I don't know, it just sets up for a different game, and a lot of times I think it's a better game than the pro game, to be honest.
We have Jacob on the line, too, who is a big college hockey fan.
What's going on, guys? How we doing? It's
hey,
Farmer,
Jacob.
Not Jacob, but hey.
Hey, how's
Farmer,
going?
Whatever.
How we doing, guys?
Good.
We're doing
how are
well.
You?
How you doing?
Oh, you know, after number two whooping up on my number one squad, I'm feeling a little ill. I just don't think Bradbury, you know, brought the beating stick, you know, because those boys – you know, game two on Saturday definitely looked like they could have used a beating stick because there was no pep in their step. It wasn't fighting Sioux hockey on Saturday night, that's for sure.
No. The Sioux definitely played better on Friday. They just got, what's the guy's name, Ayatollah or whatever his name is. The guy, I forget his name now, for Duluth. They got the hat trick on Friday night. I mean, you're not gonna. When you got a kid that's hot, he's
right.
I mean, he's gonna beat you, and you're gonna lose that game. But to come out and get shut out, you know, in game two at Adams Oil, that's just not. That's not good hockey, and it was actually not even that enjoyable to watch, because it almost seemed like, they went to Superior to go to the strip clubs the night before, so and they weren't ready to play.
Like what they do in Philly,
right? Exactly. They weren't ready to play come Saturday night, and it was just obvious. There was no jump, no nothing. So, I mean, that's not what North Dakota teams normally look like.
You're very true, but as you guys know, I don't know how much you guys follow North Dakota hockey, but once they get a good ass whooping, sorry, I swore on your show, Kim, I apologize, but
I'll let slide.
All right, once North Dakota gets a good ass whooping, hell have fury on the next team that they're playing this week.
Well, and that will be very interesting, because they're coming down to the rival Gophers at Mariucci. So at the Moots, they're usually pretty close in the way they play.
They are, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong on my facts. I don't have a computer in front of me. But if I'm not mistaken, when the Fighting Sioux go down to the Mooch, it's not very good. Usually the Golden Gophers win, but when the Gophers come up to the Ralph, 9 times out of 10, UND wins up there and the Gophers lose. I don't know, what the deal is.
I think they split last year up at Ralph.
They did, yes.
Actually they usually split no matter where they're playing. You know, they could play in Detroit and still split. So, there's just that kind of a, it's a rivalry thing,
It's a big rivalry.
And what game I'm really excited for, guys, I believe it's next year, if I'm not mistaken, where the Golden Gophers and the Fighting Sioux play in Las Vegas. That game right there, and I live in Washington State, so that's really the closest that my squad comes to me, so... I've already pre-bought my tickets for that game, even though they wanted an arm and a leg. But that game right there is going to be epic.
Yeah, in the new arena that they're building out there at the MGM, right?
Correct. Well, it's not a new arena. It's an older arena.
Refurbished, or whatever.
And I think it's about
where the pro team's going to play, yeah.
Yeah,
Here's a very good point, you guys.
Yeah,
Las Vegas. Here's okay. Speaking of Las Vegas, Las Vegas and NHL teams going to Las Vegas. I'm very skeptical about that. Like, for example, if I'm going to Las Vegas, I would not go to see a hockey game. I'm going to Las Vegas to tour and travel and do this other stuff. That's just me.
Yeah. I'm really surprised Canada didn't get a team first.
Yeah, I'm very surprised at Vegas. I know Vegas has the money and all that stuff, but I'm telling you, me and I know a few other people, if they're going to Vegas, they're not going to see a hockey game. This is I don't know about this, but I know when NHL teams came to a lot of other places in the States, a lot of them didn't do well, right? They tried to bring all this other market down, and it just didn't work. So Las Vegas hockey team. I don't – will it work? I'm not going to Vegas to see a hockey game, I'll tell you that. I can see my hockey games in Canada, not in Vegas.
Right. You
That's
know what?
Just my opinion.
And you're right, because the team, Phoenix – what are they? The Coyotes, they're not even – their stands are like, not even half full. It's like
a
bad high school game, and that's not knocking high school hockey.
No,
yeah,
I understand.
It's a bad high school game.
When you think of hockey, you don't think of like Arizona State, or you don't think of the Coyotes. And I'm skeptical also, guys, of the team there in Las Vegas, but it's close to me. And really the only other team that's kind of close to me are the Canucks. And I would rather, you know, go down to Vegas and gamble a little bit and watch some hockey, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, now, see, now the coming out of Vegas is Zucker for the Wild came from Vegas. They actually do have high school hockey there. They do play. It's probably not very good high school hockey compared to what I'm used to, but they do play there. And most of the tickets will be comp tickets. Not a whole lot of people that live in Las Vegas will actually go to the hockey games. It'll be something the casinos can throw out to people as freebies. And that's kind of the whole basis on how they got the team, because they almost guaranteed a sellout. And whether or not everybody shows up or not, it's another story, but they pretty much guaranteed a sellout for every game.
Right.
Well, so here's my question for you guys. I apologize. You know, speaking of Southern teams such as, you know, we'll just say Arizona State that just got pulled out of, I believe it was Division II or Division Hockey, and last year, you know, climbed into the Independent League, and then they were petitioning to come into the NHCH, if I'm not mistaken, where the University
right.
of North Dakota plays.
They're,
and they're like, yeah.
They're Division I Independent right now, and there's a few teams that are like
correct.
That. But.
And they're lobbying. They were lobbying to come into where UND is playing. And that division was like, I'm sorry, we're full. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, not next year, but the year following the WCHA is actually going to be picking up the Sun Devils, which I'm curious to see how they're going to do, because when they were in Division One, Division Two, or Division Three, whatever they were in, they were a dominant team. So hopefully, you know, them moving up out of the independent and actually into some competitive conference play, hopefully we can actually see a different team that can be good coming out of the WCHA.
Well, and, you know, there's no Division II for whatever reason in college hockey. There's just 1 and 3. And
I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me at all, but it, you know, it is what it is. Alabama Huntsville has been fielding a really good hockey team for years, and they're quite competitive. You know, so you know, just the fact that you're in the South doesn't necessarily mean that you can't play hockey. You know, it just means that it's harder to recruit, but at sometimes it might be easier to recruit because, you know, it's warmer down there.
Right.
Than it is in like Minnesota or North Dakota or Wisconsin or what have you. So
now, if I remember correctly, the new rankings is Minnesota Duluth is number 1, Denver is number 2, and the Fighting Sioux is number 3. Is that correct? Currently, after North Dakota's loss this weekend.
That is correct.
Okay. It is, and I feel, guys, that the polling was being very generous to North Dakota. I would have thought that they would have slipped maybe to 5 or 6 after the
beating that the
Bulldogs did.
Yeah, I kind of thought they were going to drop to 6 behind the Boston teams. And Denver coming in at number 2 made more sense because of, you know, they're on a 6-game winning streak. They beat Boston twice, and Michigan State and Western Michigan. So, I mean, they've beaten some good teams, so they deserve to be number 2. But it's interesting because, you know, like I said, North Dakota has to come down and play the Gophers, and Minnesota Duluth is going down to play St. Cloud State. So there are going to be some flip-flops and Denver's got a bye. Denver's next series is with North Dakota. So that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, that should be a
that
good
right
game.
There is just tough. You know, North Dakota has these next games that are just, you know, you're going to either pick it up or you're just going to slip down in the polls even worse. Because if you lose, or even if you split with the Rotten Gophers and then you split with the Pioneers, which play UND about the hardest in that division, if you split with them, I don't see them staying, you know, in the top five personally. And, you know, that's me being a realist and a very honest Fighting Sioux fan.
Well, the Sioux and the Pioneers have always been that way, though. You know, just, you know, and the Sioux and Colorado College have been that way, too. It seems, you know, it seems like everybody is the Sioux's rival, you know, or it seems like every week somebody gets up to play them. So,
well,
I mean,
they're one of the best college hockey teams, too. I mean, haven't they won the championship the last couple of years?
Well, they won last year.
Correct, and they are the two-time Penrose Cup. Granted, that division's only been around for 2 years since the NCAA wanted to be pretty and break up everybody and try to make the leagues more competitive.
Well, that all became because of the Big Ten decided they wanted to pull their teams in, and then, you know, they got rid of the CCHA and the WCHA blew up, and, you know, I mean, it was more fun when North Dakota and Minnesota and, you know, Mankato State were all fighting for the McNaughton Cup, as opposed to I don't know what cup we play for now.
The Penrose Cup is for the Sioux have won 2 years in a row.
Right, and that's the what, NCHA?
Yeah, NCHA. Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I miss the rivalry games, Tim, truly. You know, I miss UND playing the Badgers, you know, as many times as they did. I miss them playing, you know, the Rotten Gophers as many times as they did. You know, granted, you still have the Pioneers. Yeah.
Yeah. Best rivalry in hockey, I just have to say, just sort of interrupt, talking about rivalries, I just have to say this. Philadelphia Flyers and Pittsburgh Penguins, absolute war zones when it goes down there. It's rivalry hockey is just amazing. Flyers and Pittsburgh, hands down, the best rivalry in all sports. It's a bloodbath all the time. The fighting, you know, people coming with an injury, you know, the hits, everything. There's so much trash talking. There's so much hate, you know. It's even worse than, like, Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys. Like, you know, and I'm a huge Redskins fan, unfortunately, you know. But, you know, Pittsburgh and Florida, the biggest rivalry in sport. It's awesome. Love it. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, Saturday night's game was
coming
pretty
out
good.
Oh, my God. It's great. When you're talking about your college rivalries and all that stuff, it's, oh, man, watch a Pittsburgh game and a Flyers game on TV. You'll see a war on the ice. Not hockey. You'll see a war.
So my question for you, and I don't know if you're a Flyer fan. I apologize if you're not.
Yeah,
but,
I'm a Flyer fan. Yeah, I'm a big Flyer fan.
What do you think of Coach Hextall? His second year being your guys' head coach, coming from the Proud program there at UND. How do you think he's transitioned into the pros? And I will let this show go back to Kim and Jamie and. I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll just be tuning in.
Problem.
But I wanted to ask, you know, a Flyer fan, how you think Coach Hextall transitioned from college to the bigs?
I do have an answer for you. Thanks for calling in. That was a good conversation for sure. The Flyers' problem in the past. And I'm a diehard Flyer fan. I've been a diehard Flyer fan since, my dad was telling me stories about the Broad Street Bullies. Now, that was hockey. That was hockey. And then grew up watching Pelle Lindbergh, phenomenal goalie who lost his life in a car accident. Then Ryan Hagg. I've been a Flyer fan forever. The problem with the Flyers in the past is that they always brought in old Flyers as coaches or whatever. And I understand the family there. You know, it's a very family-orientated business with Ed Schneider. When he just passed away, he always brought in the Flyers. The Flyers had to go outside when they let go, I think it was Peter Laviolette, when they let him go and they brought in the new coach. They needed someone outside. They needed someone young who's with these college kids and all that stuff. They needed someone like that. And lo and behold, you know, no one was expecting the Flyers to make the playoffs last year, and they did. They actually did pretty decent. I think they finished sixth,
sixth or seventh or something. So he did very well. I think he's going to be a good coach for this team. The Flyers are a very young team still. They got a lot of good rookies, and they're just going to get better and better. So I think they're in the right direction with this new coach for sure. Absolutely, 100%.
Great.
Oh, I
so,
agree. I agree. Yeah, I think that was a great pickup when the Flyers got picked him up. And I was really happy to see him leave from North Dakota, too. So that was good.
But that was the Flyers had to get outside the box.
Rivalries in sports, yeah, Flyers, Penguins. But, you know, remember the old Stars, Blackhawks? When I
Absolutely.
Went to a fight, and a hockey game broke out.
Yeah,
that was the old saying.
Minnesota North Stars used to be a really good team. Yep, Dino Cicerelli. He was Dino Cicerelli, and they had Neil Broughton, old goalie back then with John Casey. Remember the Basil McRae? Remember Basil McRae? He was one of the goons. Actually, grew up just down the street, not too far from me, Beaverton. He was tough. That was great hockey.
And you had to have, and to play in the Norris, you had to have tough players, because otherwise you're just going to get beat the hell out of. So, you know, even real players like Cicerelli were tough. So
Cicerelli was exactly bingo. Rick Tocchet, another prime example. He was a very good hockey player, scoreboard, but he was tough. Bob Probert, I think, scored 20-something goals one year, and he had almost 350 penalty minutes. You know, that's, you know, and I think back in the day, Dave Hammer Schultz scored almost 20 goals and had almost 400 penalty minutes one year. You know what I mean? Like, that was, you know, that was great hockey. And I was actually going to mention that really quickly. Those days of hockey, it's all gone. I know that, but those glory days were amazing. You know, like,
I remember
was always
them
fighting.
Fighting the players to actually wear helmets.
You know, even back then, the equipment was so much smaller. They had no helmets, right? And these guys were crashing and beating the crap out of each other. You know, there was always fighting in hockey, but I think you got to admit, the Flyers, they took it to the extreme. And the rule book back then was so small. But then when the Flyers came in, they had to expand the rule book to another 6,000 pages, whatever it was. Like, hey, we can't do this anymore. You know, I remember I have this on TV, actually. When the Russians came over, I think, in 76 to play a rendezvous against the NHL, the Flyers, they punished them so bad. The first 14 minutes of the game, they didn't like the way the Flyers played. The Russians actually left the ice. They didn't want to come back.
They wouldn't.
You remember that?
Play the rest of the game.
They want to play. That's right. And Alan Eagleson went in the dressing room and said, "If you guys don't come out, you're not going to get paid." So they actually had to get paid and get punished by the Flyers even more. But those were the glory days, right? But you won't get that again. But we were talking about these great players, Wayne Gretzky, Wayne Gretzky got 200 points, but if it wasn't for Dave Semenko protecting him, you know, all you just protect him. That's all you have to do. He wouldn't have got all those points.
Job. That's your job. Just go hit whoever hits him.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
we were talking about them wearing a mask, and it's interesting. I believe it was yesterday in history. Jacques Plante was the first player to wear a mask, and that was like in 1959. He was the first ever player, and he was a goalie. So I thought that was interesting, since we were talking about bringing up the fact that there
Very
were
interesting point.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, I vaguely remember them when they first started wearing helmets, and I remember how many players thought that, because they said they couldn't see well on the ice.
Well, with that leather mask, here's the funny part. People thought with leather mask, you're protected. No, when you got a puck in the face with a leather mask, you still got a broken cheekbone and all that stuff. It just wasn't as bad without it. So that's what it was. And like I said, the equipment was so different. Look at the equipment back then was so small, you know, it's like military stuff, right? And
speaking of equipment though, how about the goaltenders now? I mean, they're like 6'10" and they're like, they take up the whole goal, and
exactly.
They're
pads and everything are so big that, you know, and nobody can score. So it's like, so do you, but with all the goaltenders hurt, do you cut down on the pad size, or what do you do to keep get the goal scoring up?
I don't know. I mean, because you don't want to make the net bigger, because that just doesn't make sense.
Well,
but
it doesn't make sense. No, that'll cut the angle differently.
Exactly. But if you cut the pad size on the goalies, I mean, that leaves – we see how many goalies have been out so far this year. And I think that would leave it more open for goalies to be injured. So then you would be have to use your salary cap to carry two or three goalies. You know, I like the game the way it is now because it is low scoring. And, you know, there comes a point where Jimmy and I will – be kidding around, and he'll send me a text and be like, next goal wins. And it usually does, because it's really hard to score sometimes. Because like you said, these goalies are between 6'4 and 6'8.
Yeah, and their equipment, you know, they're 260, 70 pounds with all their equipment on, and there's only like a little quarter of an inch to a little area to try to score a goal. So let's, like, really quickly, look back in the 70s. Let's say, for example, the Flyers. The Flyers had a big team back then. They were 6'1", 6'2 players, but the equipment wasn't that big. That was a big team back then. And, you know, they were hitting and smashing and all that stuff. They were still doing that. The problem is now that the players are even bigger now with this massive military equipment, and that's why people are getting hurt. You know, you're getting a 250-pound guy with all this carbon, you know, titanium equipment. Like, they didn't have that back then, right? And that's
oh, right.
The
so
equipment is way too big.
So
it's way too big.
That, well, and when they're checking them into the boards, it's a different feel. You know, it's like they have a lot more weight behind them.
Exactly. This equipment, it's way too big. Like, especially the goalies. The pads, like, do goalies get hurt because, like, why do goalies get hurt? Maybe they're not in shape or as much. I don't know. But it's not like they're taking a puck in the head. Like, helmet's a helmet. But, you know, like, a pad's a pad. Like, instead of having a 10-inch pad, I'm just using that for example, make it like a 7-inch pad. You're not going to get hurt from a pad from, you know, taking off a couple inches. The padding is way too big for these goalies. And that's why the games are 2-1, 3-1.
They can leave it as sticked as it is. You just have to, like, cut down the side, cut down the width a bit. But, you know, you've also got to look at the carbon blades that they're using now as opposed to the wooden sticks they were using back in the day. I mean, everybody shoots 100-mile-an-hour fastball or slap shot now, you know, and that's got to take a beating on a goaltender. I don't care how much padding you have. That's got to hurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? And back then, back in the early 80s, you know, there was goalies winning 30, 40 games. Their goals against average was 3, you know. Grant Fuhr had a decent career. Bertie Perron was he wasn't a gigantic goalie, but he had small equipment. He won 40 games, and you know what I mean? But with smaller equipment, right? So they did it back then.
The same way with Chicago. So
exactly, yeah, exactly. Now, Ken Dryden was – he was a big guy, Ken Dryden, you know, just standing up, you know. But the padding was all the same. These guys were winning Conn Smythe. They're very good goaltenders. So I don't see the justification for these gigantic padding, you know, for these goals. And that's why the goals have been down so much, you know.
Because they don't even have to make a save. They just have to, like, stand there and let them
stand there.
Capacity to work.
Yeah, like Dominic Hasek. You know, Dominic Hasek, you know, he just had to flop around. He would make a save. You know, that's all he had to do with the smaller pads. So, you know, there's no reason why this goalie equipment should be this massive. And, yeah, you have we're going to get a goalie who's 6'8 and put 600 pounds of padding on him, whatever it is. And, he has a goal against average of 1. Well, duh, what do you expect?
There's
right?
No net.
There's no net. It's like putting William the Refrigerator Perry. Why don't we just get a goalie like William the Refrigerator Perry in net? Put padding on him. He just has to stand there.
Exactly.
He'll win all the time. Like, it's ridiculous. It's way too big, this padding. Even not for the goalies, for the players. That's why there's so many concussions and all that stuff. Because, like I said, back then,
there was padding, you know, but like a guy's not going to charge you 1,000 miles an hour because you know he's going to get hurt too. So he'll give you a knobble or, you know, stick to the head or, you know, something like that. But these players are so friggin' massive now, and the equipment is so gigantic. It's all, it's like military stuff. Yeah, if you're going to run into somebody, not only you're going to hurt him, but you're going to get hurt too.
Right.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. It's, this equipment is just, it's just ridiculous. And Don Cherry one time did it one on, you ever watch Coach's Corner? I don't know if you guys watch Coach's Corner at all for the hockey games with Don Cherry. He got one of the pads back in the 60s, you know, and he got run, he banged it on Ron Wilson. It was a little, you know, some foam stuff. And then he got something from Eric Lindros. He backs over the head and he almost hurt him. So this is ridiculous. It's that's why people are getting hurt all the time now. There's no respect anymore on the ice.
And half the time the guy that's doing the checking is hurt more than the guy that got checked. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, he'll go make a check and, oh my God, just pop my elbow or pop my shoulder. And yeah, now he's out. So no, the equipment is way too big. They gotta change that. It's ridiculous. Especially the goalies. It's ridiculous.
Especially the goalies, because you can't change the size of the net. I mean, that's just going to change everything. But, I mean, you can change the size of the pad, I think, and give the cheaters a little more chance.
Well, you know what they're going to do. They're going to, if they change the size of the net, make it bigger. Oh, we're just going to have to find a bigger goalie. So then you're back all over again. Then we have to make the equipment bigger. It's no different. You put a soccer net in there. We got to get a 7,000-pound person with all this equipment.
It just leaves people open to cherry pick the net. That's all it does. If you make a wider net, you have your players stand there and just cherry pick them in. I mean, the goalie's not going to be able to cover a bigger net. So I think that the way the game is, I know Bettman wants to make it a higher scoring game for interest and ratings and the money and everything. But at the same point, you know, the game, I like the game the way it is now. You know, I wouldn't want to see any higher scoring games. Like, I thought Saturday night's game between the Flyers and the Penguins was pretty high scoring. That was 5-4 finish. That was, you know, I thought it was kind of on the higher side. I like those games that are 2-1, 2-0, you know, things like that.
Well, that's what it is. Back then, you know, scores were 5-3, 5-4, you know, those are the games back then, 4-1, 5-1 or all that stuff. But the goalies had smaller equipment, right? So
they had smaller equipment and they didn't wear masks and different than completely different rules. So
The rules, yes, the rules were different as well. Absolutely. I love the game, but I agree. The equipment's way too big for this goalies. No, they can easily cut off at a couple of inches and not talking off the player, but easily and, you know, make the goalie work a little bit harder or something. I don't know, but no, the equipment's way too big.
Well, and it doesn't have to be the width of the pads, you know, the length of the pads or whatever. It can be the width of the pads and that you can, you know, make it easier for somebody to shoot through, you know, and then you don't have as much chopping at the net. You don't have as much of that going on. You know, you have...
Well,
so,
that's
you know, today was a very light schedule for the NHL. There were only three games. One of them is still playing. The Penguins and the Ducks are playing now. Penguins are up 2-0, so I should yell, go! But Vancouver and Montreal squared off, and so did Detroit and Philadelphia. Now, the
Flyers
funny thing
just
is,
won overtime.
Right, and the funny thing is, the Red Wings have not won in Philly in how many years? I mean, that's like their kryptonite.
Lost
there.
Their last 11.
I'm not
11
complaining. I'm not complaining. Go Flyers! Go Flyers!
Detroit's usually not like that, though. I mean, they usually can go in and you know, they don't have those kind of records in other cities. So it's
because I think it was 1997 was the last year that the Red Wings had won in Philly.
Well, probably one of the Stanley Cup games,
conference too.
Yeah, that was the year they won the Cup.
That's right. Detroit, you know, they had their glory days with when that coach Babcock was there. They had a stacked team, right?
Right.
But now everyone left and retired. You know, they just barely made Detroit barely made the playoffs last year. They just squeaked in. I believe they did make it,
They just squeaked in. So this is not the team that it used to be anymore. So
They've lost a lot of players.
Exactly. They're retired or moved on or whatever. They lost a really good coach too. So
Dotson went to the Russia.
Oh, right.
He decided to play in the KHL.
Well, as I say, like, so this is not the same Detroit team anymore. So everyone said Detroit's struggling. Well, hey, there's a reason why. This is not the team anymore that used to be. They're going to be in a rebuilding stage now.
They're playing in the East, so they got a better chance of making it into the playoffs than they would in the West. I mean, they wouldn't have any chance if they're playing against the West. So
yes,
they still have a chance. And they're in that spot where they're not bad enough to be bad and get the good players. They're in the middle where they get the decent draft picks. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're not
getting. We touched on that earlier.
Yep,
you know, you
getting,
have to be
they're not
really
getting the number
bad
one
to
pick
get the draft
for the number two play. Yep.
Well, you know, it, like I said, when one team gets better, then everyone else is going to try to get better too. So, you know, that's the thing in hockey, you know, like, oh, you know, this team's get better. Well, guess what? Everyone else is trying to get better too. So, like these games are actually like at the end of the year, you know, there's only, you know, a few teams will miss the playoffs by like maybe 4 or 5 points, you know, like, and that's it. So, you know, I know it's early, but these games actually, they matter because, you know, at the end of the year, oh, you know, we went on a 4-game losing streak. You know, four, that's 8 points. Well, you just missed the playoffs by 5. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's these games are, and it's a long season. This is a very long season. It's a very crushing, bruising, hard-hitting season, you know, and, you know, you got to be healthy as you can, and you got to have a good goalie, and, you know, and, it's a long season.
And
so,
a good relief goalie at times, too. I mean, just to give your starting goalie a break. Now, that brings me to a question, too. And this was talked about on NHL Network the other night. A lot of teams are starting to go to skating faster for, you know, to play, kind of like the Pens did last year in the playoffs. So do you think the faster teams are going to struggle coming down the stretch because they're worn out from the grueling pace, or is this something that will help them succeed further into pushing for a final spot?
Well, first of all, Pittsburgh and San Jose are going to be worn out. I mean, they've, you know, half their team is decent enough that they probably played in the World Cup. And
it was a very short offseason for them.
And they played deep into – you know, I mean, you look at, you know, some of the other teams, you know, like your Montreals and your Ottawas and your Detroits that didn't go very long into the playoffs, their players are going to be a lot more rested and they're going to be a lot fresher and they're going to be able to stay longer than, you know, your players like, you know, the players on the teams that actually did well last year, which is why it's so tough to repeat in the NHL.
It really is. It's only been done 18 times.
Right. So, and those were probably all by Montreal. But
the Red Wings have back-to-back. The Penguins have back-to-back. And I think the rest belong to the Canadians.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So,
but the Islanders won 4 in a row. There you go. The Islanders did win 4 in a row back in the early 80s. Late 70s.
Is that when they got Messier?
The New York Islanders. Yeah, the Islanders. I think the Islanders won. I think they won. I think they won 4 in a row, if I'm not mistaken. That's when they had Mike Bossy and Brian Trotche and. And
that is a little
Billy's,
bit before my time.
Billy's me. Yeah. So, but no, it's very hard to repeat now. It's very hard.
And the salary cap doesn't help because you can't keep your players either.
Thank you,
I mean, you think about the expansion draft coming up. That's really going to throw a loop into keeping players because they can do – well, they have to protect one goalie, and then is it 3 defensemen and 7 forwards or a combination of something like that?
It's a combination. I think it's a total of 8 you could protect. I think it's –
okay.
Maybe it's 9. I don't know, but it's
you only get so many, and you can mix and match them from defense to forwards.
But then they have that rule, like, you know, for example, if a player, say like Austin Matthews, he would, even if they weren't to protect him, which the Leafs would, but he wouldn't be eligible for it because you have to have 2 full years in the NHL before you can be drafted.
You have to have 2 full years in, and you also have to have not have a no-trade clause in your contract.
Right.
So that pretty much eliminates, like for Pittsburgh, for instance, because we keep talking about them.
I know you love it, right?
I don't feel well now.
Murray can't go because he doesn't have enough service time.
Time in.
And
Fleury
and,
has a no-clause trade.
Ma Fleury doesn't. He has a no-trade contract, so.
Right. But I was also thinking about that guy for the Wild. You guys just signed him to a bigger contract just in case he got drafted so they would get some kind of compensation for that.
And that would be Zucker, who's from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of thinking that maybe if we got the hometown boy, maybe we get some of the hometown fans. So, but they're not going to.
Yeah, watch the Leafs put someone on waivers to go to Las Vegas, and they're going to score 50, 60 goals or something like that. That's what they usually do. So that's what I'm waiting for.
That's the way the Leafs work.
The poor Leafs. They are just struggling. Jeff and I have a mutual friend, Dean, who is a diehard Leafs fan, and I don't know if Dean's listening tonight, but you know, he struggles. He struggles with rooting for the Leafs. You know, going back to the 3 games that were played tonight, the Canadians, they shut out the Canucks. They won 3-0. So there goes again. Montreal's going to get more points, and I think they're leading the points right now.
Mm-hmm. Shea Weber, I'm telling you, he made a difference of that team. He is a warrior, a workhorse. I would take Shea Weber over Subban any day, any second. He really turned that team around. He is a leader. He is a leader, a workhorse. Like he's a phenomenal defenseman. He's not in the media. He's not pulling any of this crap in the media. Like, look at me. You know, he seems to be a pretty level guy, but he knows his stuff, and he's a workhorse. You know, this Montreal, if they keep this up, they're going to be very dangerous in the playoffs with a hard goalie.
They need Price to stay healthy.
Healthy, yep. And Weber, like, you know, one person can make a team. Like, when the Flyers got Chris Pronger that same year, they went to the playoffs. They went to the Stanley Cup. The 1 year the Edmonton Oilers got Chris Pronger, they went to the Stanley Cup. You know, it can just take one person to make a big difference. Now, again, it was Chris Pronger who's, you know, a very good defenseman who played. One player, you know, they can make a big difference. Montreal is, to keep it up, they're going to be very dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep. Unless they win the President's Trophy, and then they won't be. Because we all know that's a curse.
But they got a bunch of Canadians on that team, so you never know, right? So,
Well, they even did well. I know in the beginning of the season, Price was not playing in goal. And so, you know, they did even well with their backup goalie. And then Price came back, I think, 5 or 6 games in. And, of course, you know, he was a World Cup goalie, so... And we all know Canada won. U.S. United States couldn't even win a game in that one.
And that was, they didn't even pick, what's this guy from Pittsburgh? They didn't even put the American, Kessel. They didn't pick him.
Colin or Kessel? No.
Nope.
Yeah, Kessel.
Because the United States wanted to go younger and faster. And it did not work for them.
No, and part of the thing is that the more of the United States team, if they, you know, when they get to the Olympics, it's a younger team, and you weren't allowed to take anybody under age 25. So they don't have the older players that aren't, like, super old that
right.
could play.
Well,
you know, whereas
the Olympics,
whereas
the World
Canada
Cup
did.
Sanctioned by NHL. I said, unlike the Olympics, the World Cup was actually sanctioned by the NHL. Because
right.
I was shocked that they didn't play on an Olympic-sized rink, which we know that they wanted to sell more seats for it.
Right.
But why not pick – why like, Kessel, he was almost a Conn Smythe winner. Like, he was good in the – he was really good. And but why would they want to pick him? Like, that's what I didn't get. And I just – I thought he would help out a little bit.
What'd you think?
There was some of that. There was some of that too. Some of the guys didn't want to play,
right?
Because they wanted their off season, or at least you know a couple more.
Some
know,
of it.
Yeah, I thought maybe I was wrong. I thought he wanted to play. I thought Kessel actually wanted to play, and he did.
He was a
picked,
snub.
And that he didn't get picked.
Right.
So.
But his tweet was hilarious. I don't know if you guys heard it. His tweet after the United States lost in the World Cup was, I feel like I should be doing something important tonight. It was just a huge shot at being
sick. Yeah, I remember that. I do remember that. But yeah, Canada, they just dominated. And, you know, like we talked about being a show, like it's, you know, it's like we won the last few Olympics gold medals. It's just, you know, and you guys steal all our players, which is fine. we got to bring up the American market somehow.
They come down here because they want to get paid.
Yeah, the American dollar. The dollar is better right now.
Exactly, and your tax structure is different than ours, so it's like, you know, I want my money. You know, so
I can't see Vegas succeeding. I can't. I don't know. I might be wrong. You know, I could be wrong, but. I'm telling you, like we're hockey. Obviously, we're a hockey country up here, and a lot of my friends watch hockey and all that stuff, and we all know that, right? And I went to high school with a few hockey players, like Eric Lindros, and I knew Keith Primo since I was a kid, you know, and Adam Foote, won Stanley Cup with Colorado, and Gary Roberts actually grew up in this area here too, Dale Hawerchuk. So you know, I actually knew some of the players for sure. But we're talking about this and I said, they're all saying, if we're going to Vegas, we're going to see the shows, you know, do some gambling, go down the strip malls and blah, blah, blah. You know, their chances are they won't be seeing a hockey game. And I think, would you say like they might be giving them free tickets just to fill up the stadium and all that stuff? Like,
yeah. Well,
if that's the way to do it, pretty
well,
sad.
That's the way they're going to do it. And, oddity of it all is that, you know, a lot of people from Minnesota go to Las Vegas and they're going to take them tickets and they're actually going to go watch that hockey game. And then they're going to go mm-hmm. back to, you know, because they'll have, what's called slot machines and things of that nature in that arena.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
so
definitely.
People will be able to do both at the same time. So it's not like, you know, you know, they'll have casinos, they'll have, you know, blackjack, they'll have all kinds of stuff going on in that arena at the same time
mm-hmm.
that the hockey game's going on. So, and I don't know, we like
it.
It would be
interesting to have this conversation a year from now to see.
Oh, yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
How they react and how they do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, guys, believe it or not, we are down to about our last 5 minutes of the first show. So, again, you know, I want to thank everybody for listening and those who will pick up our podcast. Just a reminder, you know, we have a email address. It's stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com. We'll be on next Wednesday night, same time frame. So if you want to call in next week, it's 646-668-8467. Follow us on Twitter at Stay Out of Crease. And then we also have a Facebook page, which is Stay Out of My Crease. So in the last 5 minutes, I have had some dear friends of mine that I actually blog for. So you can follow me. I do blog some hockey and I do blog some football. But you can follow my blog sites on Sports Elite. And they also have a web page, or actually a Facebook page, and that's Sports Elite on Facebook. And then they have a bloggers page, which is Sports Elite Bloggers. So I would like to, you know, if you guys want to listen to a show that has all sports, not just strictly hockey, their show is on Thursday nights, and it's on Blog Talk Radio as well. So you can follow them tomorrow night. Their show starts at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But, yeah, I mean, this is a great show. Jeff, thanks for coming on. It was great having you.
Thank you very much. I had a lot of fun. I have one quick question. Jim,
sure.
best fighter in the NHL in history, your opinion.
Ooh.
Wow, so many to choose from.
I know.
Yeah, one of your favorites. One of your favorites.
Oh, probably Booger.
Oh, yeah, he was tough. Yes.
Yeah, he was one of those that you just ran out there. That was his only job. I mean, he couldn't score, he couldn't defend, he couldn't do anything. You just ran him out there to hit people, and he did that very well. Unfortunately,
yes,
he died from a concussion, but that was his job, and he did it very well.
I have two. Who was your favorite?
Oh, gosh. I was going to say probably I don't know, Jeff Merrick comes to mind, and I don't know why,
You guys all remember Ty Domi, right?
Right.
Yes, I do.
Ty Domi, yeah, he was a warrior. I actually had two. Dave Schultz. No, I was young enough
Schultz.
To. Dave the Hammer Schultz. Yeah, just a monster on the ice. Terry O'Reilly was the Tasmanian Devil. Just scored and just fight. Another fighter I actually really liked was Dave Brown, who played for the Flyers. He was a big guy, but he was a big, bad – hey, someone else said a big, badass fighter. He was tough. Oh, my God. Him and Domi went at it a few times at Probert. And, oh, my God. Like this, those were the glory days. And, you know, you don't get those big goon people anymore, but that was fun hockey.
Right.
Oh, it was funny. You know, it was fun or whatever. It was.
Yeah.
But you know, the game has to change and has to, you know.
Exactly. You know, you can't do that anymore. Like back then, when you took a hockey stick to a guy's stomach, you know, you got like 10 minutes in the box. You feel shame, and then you get out.
No, that was a 2 minute minor for hooking.
Yeah, exactly. A stick to the, you know, when Bobby Clark took a stick to the guy's ankles, and remember the one Russian summit series where Bobby Clark got broke the Russians during the Canada summit series back then, 72. He took this stick and broke the guy's ankle. He got a 10-minute misconduct. But you do that now, you're going to get arrested and court, and you can't do
exactly.
that anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be a 3-day suspension and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Back then, you just feel shame for the penalty box. That wasn't very nice, you know? So, this
don't
is totally
do that
different.
Yes, definitely.
So, had a great time on the show. This is great. Lots to talk about. This is phenomenal, and looking forward to the next show for sure.
Oh, definitely. And I know you guys probably know that the first trade of the NHL happened today for this season. The Ottawa Senators got Mike Condon from the Penguins. So that was news that happened today. But I think besides that,
they got
that,
him for the fifth round, right?
Correct, fifth round draft pick, which for a third or fourth goalie is, that's good. You got something for him. Congratulations.
Right.
You never know these draft picks. You know, like Zetterberg back then, he wasn't first. Zetterberg went really, really, really late. Some of these players went very late, and they blossomed. Never know. You never know.
Right.
You never know.
Well,
you really don't.
Well, and they're drafting the kids when they're 18 years old, too, so you never know what you're going to get when you draft them. So, you can get the diamond in the rough, so to speak. So,
exactly.
But they have Dion Phaneuf. They're not going to go anywhere with Dion Phaneuf. So that's one good thing the Leafs did. I actually drank a beer after. Well, not that I don't drink beer. When they got rid of Phaneuf, that was a big relief on all the Canadian fans around, like the hockey fans in Canada. When Phaneuf was actually gone from Toronto, and then, well, he went to Ottawa. But everyone in Toronto was relieved. And so he ain't the player he was. You know, he had 2 good years in Calgary, and then, oh, my gosh. So,
well, We only have like 30 seconds left, so we'll have to game plan for a different show. Again,
absolutely.
I want to thank Jeff for coming on. Jimmy, thanks for co-hosting this show with me. And stay tuned for next week. Thank you to everybody who listened and for all the support and everything that we've gotten to start this show. So everybody have a great Wednesday night. Enjoy the World Series. And we will see you back next week.
All right. Take care, Jim. Bye, Kim. Have a good night.
Bye.
Good night.